Let's talk some football with our good buddy Mark Boerichter. Good morning, Mark. How are you, man?
Good morning, Nate. How are you this morning?
Fantastic. Hey, would you have gone for it if you were the Bills last night on Monday Night Football?
Yeah, I think so. I really do. There's a time in my thought process that I probably would have kicked the field goal to tie it, you know, in that situation. But I don't care what analytics say. Actually, I do care what some of that stuff says. But I think in that situation, let's just go back to the old school mentality and thought process was, you know, you always go for it on the road for the win. You always go for the win on the road. You're playing at home. You know, you play for the tie and go to overtime. But I would have gone for it. Didn't necessarily like the quarterback sneak completely, but you know, Ryan Tannehill, or not Ryan Tannehill, but Josh Allen's you know, foot kind of slipped out on the quarterback sneak. So, and their offensive line got destroyed and everything else. So it is what it is for the Bills. Put it that way.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's funny because like, I think a lot of people look at the decision to go for it there and say, oh, this must be all analytics-based. And I would, if I were, I feel like if you're a coach, you should be aware of what the analytics say. I don't think you should be beholden to it. I don't think you should just blindly make a completely emotionless decision based on what the math says. Because the math is too complicated, first of all, to give you just a clear, obvious answer most of the time. Sometimes it might. But also, there are human beings out there playing. But I do think it should factor into your, you know, I think you should be aware of what the numbers say in that situation. But I feel like in that situation, Mark, it, not outside of the analytics, there were reasons just on like an emotional level to decide to go for it there. It didn't work out, like you said, but I don't think it necessarily means the wrong decision was made. What did you think going into it? I told Jake I was sure they were going to get the first down, and I was sure they were going to score a touchdown. How surprised were you that the Titans got the stop?
I was extremely surprised that they got the stop, to be honest with you. I liken the decision to go for it there, kind of, and it's not the same exact same situation, but let's go back to the Chiefs-Browns playoff game a year ago. You know, when Andy Reid goes for it on fourth down with you know, Chad Henne at quarterback, and everybody is like, what a gutsy call to go up for it on fourth down, you know, type of thing. I'm like, no, it was the only call at that particular moment in time, because if you get the first down, you win the game. And so I look at the Bills last night and Sean McDermott and that whole decision. I think you can throw the analytics out the window. I think it was the only decision they had at that point. Like, we're going to go win this game. And you know, if we don't, it's about Tennessee stopping us. Now, again, I didn't necessarily like the quarterback sneak, but my feeling was when they were going for it, that they were going to get it or score right there. I thought 100% that was going to happen.
Yep, I was in the same boat. It didn't happen, and that means that the Bills are now 4-2. So the Chiefs are only a game back. Obviously, Bills have a tiebreaker on them. But this AFC race is going to be pretty interesting. And now the Titans come up as an opponent for the Chiefs next weekend. After watching that game last night, look, we didn't think the Titans looked like a great team. A lot of people have been saying, well, this three-game stretch, this is when the Chiefs get healthy, beat the football team, and then take on a Titans team that's really been struggling. Now, all of a sudden, the Titans just got a big win against the Bills. Does this change at all the way you look at this upcoming matchup for the Chiefs?
It really doesn't. I looked at this, and again, this is before last night's result, right? But I thought going into this week here, this is a really, really important game for the Chiefs. I don't want to call it like this is where their season lies right here with this game, but it's pretty close to it because it's an AFC opponent, right? It's been a team that's been in the playoffs in the Tennessee Titans, and you know, they're a big physical football team. This game's on the road, and yes, you won on Sunday, and you should have won against the Washington football team, but it wasn't overly impressive to me. Thinking about it, it's a win in the National Football League, and you never take those for this game this week is a tough one because Tennessee's built to beat you up. Big physical team. They want to beat you up. That's their style of football. Now, they got a lot of injuries right now and had a lot of injuries, and we saw what happened to their secondary again last night with a bunch of injuries. So there's some things the Chiefs can certainly take advantage of this week. But I think this is a really important week. This isn't about the Chiefs fattening up their record and getting healthy over these 3 weeks with Washington, Tennessee, and the Giants coming here on Monday night. This is an AFC opponent that's been in the playoffs. They're gonna, they could own a tiebreaker over you if you do not win this game, right? So this is an important one for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I certainly. I mean, look, you're talking about a 4-2 Titans team now. That they got some defensive issues, like you said, but we also know all too well that so do the Chiefs. So, how much better do you feel about the Chiefs' defense after pitching a shutout in the second half against the football team?
Well, I think they did some good things in the game. I really did. But again, you're going against an inferior offense in the Washington football team. And, you know, it's a game you should win. I think they made some strides. I really do. I think the second half, to me, both the offense and the defense made some strides. It's something you can build off of a little bit. But I still have some real concerns, you know, defensively. You know, can they get to the quarterback on a consistent basis? You know, there's still some communication errors in the secondary. You know, obviously, Ricky Seals-Jones, you know, went for the touchdown. Really wasn't a blown coverage. It was three guys being overly aggressive on a fake screen to the outside because the wide receiver was wide open as well. So, there's some things they've got to shore up, but I thought they played better. I don't necessarily think the impact of Juan Thornhill in the game, you know, was a huge impact, right? Or it wasn't a glaring impact. But I like the move. I felt it needed to happen, obviously. And I'd like to still see them get Willie Gay Jr. out on the field a little bit more than what he played on Sunday. But it certainly is a step in the right direction. They got a good challenge this week. A couple of big wide receivers and obviously a beast at running back. So this will be a good test for them this week.
Well, I was looking back at it. The Chiefs haven't played the Titans since the AFC Championship game in 2019. And in that game, they held Derrick Henry to 69 yards on 19 carries and a touchdown. They did a pretty good job against him, but obviously this is going to be a different game this time around. And you mentioned it. I mean, this is a challenge for a linebacking crew with a banged up Anthony Hitchens and Nick Bolton Jr. This is the kind of game he was drafted for, right? Isn't he supposed to be? His strength is supposed to be stopping the run more than it is in coverage. What do you think of the matchup in terms of the Chiefs trying to slow down Derrick Henry in this game? And by the way, does it matter at all that he'll be coming off a short week?
I think it does matter a little bit, you know, Nate, I really do. It's not, you know, that short of a week. I think the difference here, if you're the Titans on, you know, playing Monday Night Football, is that for them, at least they were at home, right? And you're playing at home again. I think that's the breather, so to speak, right, for Tennessee, where it doesn't make it as big of a deal. But you know, this Chiefs defense needs to have a solid game, right? Like, all the way around, a completely solid game, an air-free game. And this is certainly a team you can do it because they're going to be focused on running the football. And the question mark for me is going to be what we've heard, you know, some of the coaching staff say a week ago, with this team is the eye discipline. You know, can you understand and look and watch just your keys? Because you're going to need to be that from the linebacker position, from the safety position in the play action game that Tennessee does. And they've got a history of doing well against Derrick Henry. And, you know, I think we hope it continues this week, but it'll certainly be a challenge.
So I'm curious because, you know, you played with a guy that the Chiefs really rode like a workhorse for a period of time, and he put up amazing numbers, but then the downfall happened pretty quick thereafter. And I remember Herm Edwards used to talk about it a lot in terms of how many carries a running back would get and what it would do to his career. And Derrick Henry's been a big workload guy for a few years now. But listen to some of these numbers. And in today's NFL, where it seems like most NFL teams split the carries up in their backfield, most NFL teams don't run it as often as they used to. Derrick Henry's had two games this year already where he's had over 30 carries. He had 35 carries at Seattle in an overtime win. He had 33 carries at the Jets in an overtime win. 29 carries against Jacksonville. And he's had over 20 carries in all but one game this year. He's already rushed for 783 yards and 10 touchdowns in the first six games of the season. Now, look, if anybody's up for it, it seems to be him. I mean, he just seems bigger and stronger and faster than every other running back on the planet, and he hasn't shown any signs yet of slowing down. Do you expect that to take a toll on him at some point in the near future, or do you think this guy can do this for a few more years at this rate?
Look, I think it'd be kind of idiotic for us to say at some point he's not going to slow down here in the next couple of years. Because you start taking, you know, that much punishment every single week, your body is going to naturally break down a little bit. Now, he might be the one outlier, Nate, just based on the way he's built, because he's an absolute physical freak. He's probably a once-in-a-century type of running back, just based on, you know, the size that he is. It's unbelievable, you know, when you watch him just warm up next to other guys, how big he is. And, you know, he also, I will say, Nate, delivers a lot of punishment, right? He's not a guy that absorbs a lot of it. So that being said, you know, I think he's got a few more years left in him. He's certainly not done, but, you know, I think he will, you know, eventually slow down a little bit. It's just the nature of you know, the situation.
Unfortunately for the Chiefs, he's probably not going to just slow down magically between this week and next. But like you said, maybe the short week will have him just a little more tired than normal. We'll see. We're visiting with Mark Boerichter. Let's get into the Chiefs a little bit more. And you referenced the thing that everybody wanted to see. Less Dan Sorensen, more Juan Thornhill. We got that on Sunday. Were you pleased with the way that things looked when it came to Thornhill getting more snaps and a more limited role for Dan Sorensen?
Yeah, I was. And again, this is nothing against Dan Sorensen. And I said this last week with you guys. I think Dan Sorensen is a good football player. I think, you know, and I said last week I felt bad for him because they're putting him in situations that they should not put him in. And that's not Dan Sorensen's fault, right? So it's not all on Dan Sorensen. It's never one guy. But I thought, you know, number one, they had to make a change last week after everything. And quite frankly, Juan Thornhill's more athletic, and he's a second-round pick, right? You've got to get those types of guys on the field. And they needed to make the move, and they did. Again, like, I don't think that the impact was tremendous last week. All of a sudden, it was this glaring piece where it was like, well, that's going to solve everything. But the move needed to happen. I'm more concerned about the pass rush. I really am. You know, the Chiefs finally were able to get some turnovers on defense last week. One of those is an interception by the defense by Sir Wharton that was unbelievable. But I think that, you know, they have zero pass rush right now on a consistent basis. And depending on what happens with Chris Jones when he comes back, hopefully he's back this week. He's got to move back inside. I think your combination then is playing Michael Dana and Frank Clark in some capacity, but Frank Clark right now cannot beat anybody one-on-one. And I know people are going to be like, well, you had a couple pressures in the game. But one time he wasn't blocked at all. And then the second time they played a game on the outside, a little twist game, you know, where he was finally able to get some pressure. But he can't win one-on-one right now. And that's a problem. And so they've got to figure other ways to get pressure on the quarterback here over the next couple of weeks, because that's going to be a glaring hole defensively, which is, in turn, going to open up your secondary to more big plays because you can't get to the quarterback.
Well, we spent last week, you and I, talking about wanting to see the Chiefs blitz more, and they did do that. Did you like the amount of times that, or, you know, like roughly the balance of blitzing that we saw against Washington?
Yeah, I think it was okay. You know, I think that you need to if you have a defense like this where you can't get to the quarterback with just your front four, you've got to do some more things, right? You've got to manufacture pressure. And that's what they've got to do. And, you know, not that Taylor Heineke's not a good quarterback. He's obviously playing in the National Football League. But, you know, he's a backup quarterback in this league. And so, you know, you have to try to bring some more pressure and create some chances for your team and create some mistakes. And I think, you know, that's where this team needs to continue to do. And Steve Spagnuolo needs to continue to do that, is look and continue to bring pressure over time here so that they can hopefully make some more plays.
Aaron Wilson tweeted out that the Chiefs are interested in Whitney Mercilus, who is supposedly going to be released by the Houston Texans. He's 31 years old. He's got 3 sacks so far on the season, had 4 last year, 7.5 the year before that, 31 years old. How interested would you be in picking him up if you're the Chiefs? Aaron Wilson said mutual interest between both parties.
I'd certainly look at him. I certainly would. He's been a really good pass rusher over the last couple of years for the Texans. You know, I think you always ask the question, why are they releasing him now? You know, middle of the season. That's the question you always ask in free agency too, right? When you're going to draft somebody or, you know, go get somebody in free agency, well, why is the other team not extending him, you know, or what's going on here? So there's always something there. But I definitely think, you know, if there's an area they need some help, it is in the pass rush side of things. And I think he'd be fairly affordable, especially if he's just flat out released. You know, they put this out there last night. If he's released, this is kind of like a Stephen Gilmore situation, right, in New England a little bit, where all of a sudden, you know, you put out word that he's getting released and teams start calling and possibly making a trade.
So Mercilus has said that he's really struggled with the defensive transition with the new defensive coordinator in Texas. He said, quote, "Now it's like my keys are shortened down to just reading tackles and tight ends and pre-snap reads, so I can't see anything that's post-snap or when motion happens, stuff like that, to get a beat on what might happen. It's just reading my keys more so and locking onto that and just letting instincts take over." So maybe that's part of it. He restructured his contract, so he's a free agent after this season. We'll see where that goes and whether or not the Chiefs can maybe find an addition defensively. We're visiting with Mark Boerichter. On the offensive side, Mark, we saw a position switch, and Lucas Niang did not start at right tackle. Mike Remmers did. Now, it was announced on the broadcast that Niang's dealing with a little bit of a hamstring issue. We talked with Adam Teicher yesterday. He said he thought this could be as much a personnel move as it is an injury move with Niang. Maybe there's a little gray area there. As, you know, how was he hurt enough that he couldn't play at all? Do they need to protect him a little bit? We lost Mark. We're going to get him back here in a second. I think it's going to be interesting to see where this goes in terms of the future of the right tackle position for the Chiefs, because Niang, didn't seem to be drawing a lot of criticism, but is it the hamstring? Is it because they felt like Remmers would do a better job? I'm just curious what you think overall of that switch they made, a right tackle, Mark, and let's say it is because of the hamstring. You think Niang goes right back into the starting lineup when he's healthy?
I don't, Nate. I think it was a combination of both. I think, you know, you look at Lucas Niang has struggled in pass protection the last couple of weeks. He does. The hamstring injury is legit. It's not like they you're saying, hey, he's dealing with a hamstring injury, you know, we're going to sit him down here for a week, type of thing. But, you know, Mike Remmers was the plan, really, right, at right tackle. There was a lot of talk with him being the plan at right tackle to begin with and then got hurt in training camp. So I think that, you know, overall, I think there was a situation where, you know, you're going to put in, and let's not forget, too, Washington had Chase Young over there, right?
Yep.
Big physical guy. And maybe you'd say, hey, we've got Lucas Niang there, then Mike Remmers, but go put a veteran guy over there. Don't put your guy in that situation. He could, you know, strain his hamstring further and not play well. And I'm not saying they would ruin his confidence with that. That's not what I'm getting at. But make the smart decision. And I think they did that on Sunday. I really do.
So we'll see where that goes heading forward. And The last thing that I wanted to ask you about, Mark, we talked about this a lot yesterday as well, you know, in terms of whether or not the Chiefs solved some things in the second half of that game. What were you thinking at halftime? You know, when the team had turned the ball over three times, it found themselves making a lot of the same types of mistakes they'd made through the first 5 weeks of the season. What was on your mind at that point in time?
Here we go again. you know, it was I wasn't panicking as much as maybe fans were, and I'll tell you why. I think that when you look at the interception, obviously we all saw Patrick Mahomes make the worst decision he's made in his career here in Kansas City after dropping the snap, right? And that one. But at that point, you were like, okay, is this team just cursed here in the first half? Like, but you know, the other interception was a catchable ball to Tyreek Hill, and he had slipped coming out of his break, and it's a timing route and everything else, and you know, that stuff happens. McCole Hardman fumbles, and you're sitting here going, okay, is this team ever going to shake the yips that they've got on the turnover side of things? But they just didn't look in sync. And they did some really good things, but they didn't look in sync overall. And, you know, I was really, really happy, Nate, to see how they came out in the second half. And what I say that is, you know, this team got back to quote normal what we're used to seeing out of this team after halftime. They responded the way they needed to respond. And that part to me tells me that this team is not cursed. They're not completely broken, right? Even on the defensive side, you know, we just got to talk a lot about what they need and where they need to be better. But I like the overall effort because that's easily a game when stuff like that doesn't go right for you in the first half and all of a sudden you're in a battle. That stuff can kind of compound itself, especially on the road, right? Where you're like, hey, it's just not our Sunday. This is one of those days that it happens. But they didn't do that. They came back after halftime, regrouped, and played well, and obviously had a pretty dominant second half.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to ask you about how you felt at halftime, because I do think at when the Chiefs won the game, my initial reaction was, okay, they got away with all the mistakes they made in the first half this time around because they weren't playing a team like the Bills, you know, or right, or the Ravens. But on the flip side, I do think it's important to kind of highlight that juxtaposition because I'm wondering, you know, obviously frustration was built. You can see it from Tyrann Mathieu's body language every time they give up a big play, right? And what he did on the sideline, like the frustration's building with this team. So now I'm wondering, is the reverse going to be true after that half of football, in which they played well? Does that start to turn things around? And do these guys go out with a fresher mindset and maybe less weight on their shoulders in this game against the Titans than they have so far this season?
Yeah, that'd be a false positive. All of a sudden, hey, we're fixed. We came out and dominated the second half. We're fixed, guys. You know, we've got it all figured out. I think you got to come out and play, obviously, too well this week. And I guess you can't let up. Washington football team is a team you should beat. And so, I'm encouraged by what happened after halftime. And I won't tell fans out there, too, like, Andy Reid's not coming in and giving some big rah-rah halftime speech, okay? That doesn't happen at the professional level. Right, that's some high school stuff. That doesn't happen. These guys are professional athletes. They may yell and scream at each other a little bit, like, hey, we got to get this going. But there isn't some miraculous, like, you know, halftime speech that all of a sudden they came out and played better. But I think that, you know, you don't want this to carry over and be a false positive, and I don't think they will, because I think this is an experienced locker room who knows that they haven't played well over the last few weeks, knows what they've done self-inflicted to cost themselves some football games. And, again, this is an important game. This isn't, you know, you're not coming in against the Jaguars here this week, right, where you think, hey, okay, we can kind of sleepwalk through this thing and still win. This is a really good football team and a playoff team you got to play, and it's an AFC opponent. So you've got to come out and be ready to go, and I think they will.
Chiefs, as I'm looking at it right now, are a 4.5-point favorite on noon kickoff at the Titans. So what's your prediction? How do you see this game playing out?
I think the Chiefs win it. I think it'll be closer than most people think it will. you know, I think the Chiefs win it 30-21. I think overall that they're going to do enough offensively and defensively to win. I think Tennessee is one of the most banged up teams in the entire National Football League and was coming into the Monday night game. And then they had some more injuries in their secondary. We saw their left tackle go out, right? Leave on a backboard, which hopefully he's all right long term. It's two guys in two straight nights that we've seen that happen to. And I know a lot of it's out of precaution, which is the right thing. But if this is the week that the Chiefs need to get after Ryan Tannehill in the passing game and slow down Derrick Henry. You know Derrick Henry's going to get his yards. And you can't worry necessarily about what's going to happen with him overall. You've got to take care of things in the back end. So I like it 30-20 Chiefs.
Mark, thank you so much for the time, man. You got the Chiefs winning and covering in Tennessee. I appreciate a big game coming up. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
That is Mark Boerichter battling through the cell phone gremlins that still exist sometimes. We will take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.